Today's scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. May God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. On account of his vast mercy, he has given us new birth. You have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have a pure and enduring inheritance that cannot perish, an inheritance that is presently kept safe in heaven for you. Through his faithfulness, you are guarded by God's power so that you can receive the salvation he is ready to reveal in the last time. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Van, for reading God's word slowly enough that all of us could catch it. And did you catch that we've been born anew, that we have new hope, that we have a new inheritance because of the resurrection of Jesus? Choir, I want to thank you for singing Blessed Assurance. And I want to suggest some of you can come a little bit early the next Sundays at 9:30. Go to the chapel. When you go through that door, it's to the immediate right. And they're singing favorite hymns. And you will know the song ahead of time. So just come a bit early and join them. Did you know that the Bible says even trees sing and mountains sing, and you're going to sing in heaven, so you might tune yourself up a little bit while you're here on earth. Yep. Now, folks, last week we saw that there was death on the cross. And that's because God had put all the sins of humanity into the body of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, put it this way. Jesus, who never sinned once, became sin on that cross. Now, folks, listen to these last words of Jesus on the cross when he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then Jesus gave up the spirit and died. So here comes a question to ponder. Listen to it. With everybody's sins nailed to the cross, thus erased, blotted out, canceled, gone, how many sins did Jesus himself commit that were left in his body, in that tomb? How many? None. Zip. Zero. None whatsoever. That's why Romans 8, verse 11, listen to it, listen to it. Put it this way. The Spirit of God raised Jesus from the grave. And John chapter 6, verse 63 reminds us that it is the Spirit that gives life. I mean, folks, 3 days after crucifixion on that Sunday was the day death died for Jesus, never to die again. But listen, listen. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 describes it this way. while Jesus was in the tomb, God released, set free, the agony of death. Now I want you to hit the pause button right there. God released the agony of death. The inspired Greek word for agony means birth pains. Now, you women who have been through giving birth to life have experienced why those birth pains were called agony. I don't think any of you said, boy, that's the best joy I ever had when I felt that. No, agony. And we men have no clue what those mothers went through in the womb. But Jesus experienced it in his tomb. Those birth pains started. The pains of life. 5 minutes apart. Then 3 minutes apart. Remember, gals? And then 2 minutes apart. And then seconds. Then up from the grave he arose. From those birth pains of life. Folks, that Sunday was not only the day death died for Jesus. It was also the day death died for us believers as well. Romans 8, verse 11, put it this way. Listen to it. The Spirit of life, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give eternal life into your mortal body. Did you catch it? The same Spirit that raised Jesus will give life to your mortal bodies. That's the word of God in Romans 8, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 described it this way. For believers, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Did you catch it? Not might be present. Not someday will be present. Not ought to be present. But we are present with the Lord instantly when you're absent from this body. Jesus promised it in John chapter 14 to believers when he said, quote, where I am, there will you be also. As believers, we are instantly. When we breathe our last breath here, we breathe our next breath in heaven. Instantly. Luke chapter 16 pictures our transfer to heaven this way. Catch it. An angel escorts us to heaven. Now just think what an exciting trip that's going to be. You don't have to call up and get a ticket and pay more than you thought you was going to pay. No need for a spaceship, space suit. No luggage to check, no cramped leg room, no oxygen mask to drop, no passport or visa to show. Up, 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 past the moon. You might even ask the angels, hey, stop right there. I would just like to walk on the moon without a spaceship. And that angel probably let you. And then you go up again, up past the sun. Listen, just picture it. Up past the stars, up past the planets. Up past the galaxies, right into heaven to never, ever die again. Oh yes, that resurrection Sunday was the day death died also for us. Because Jesus rose from the dead with our sins in his body and thus forgiven, then we can live forever and ever and ever. Now, folks, We may physically die here unless Christ comes back first. And as I look out in the audience, many of you look like you... No, I won't go there. When we physically die here, it's not just a departure. It's also an arrival. It's like the sunset. When the sun finally goes down and you don't see it anymore, it's also arising for the others on the other side to see. That's what happens when we die. Our physical death is also not just a separation here. It's also a reconnection. It's a reunion there. I'll see my grandmothers who always gave me big hugs and sloppy, sloppy kisses that I hated then. But now I would say, bring them on, Grandma. Bring them on. Our death, it's not just an ending here. It is also a new beginning up there. It's a fantastic and fantastic transformation. You see, it's our death here is not just to be followed by a cremation into ashes or by the body decaying into dust. Oh, no. It's also to be followed with a fantastic and a fantastic instant transformation. Listen to it from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to these words, God's words. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they have? What is sown is perishable. But what is... it's not in the Bible, I just mention it. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, and you know there is also a spiritual body. I tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm still reading from the scripture. I tell you, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, the word behold means look. I'm going to translate that way. Look. Look. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There were several years ago, I was speaking, guest speaker in a very large church. I forgot which church it was now, but I was given a tour of all of their facilities. And as I walked by the nursery, I walked by a large room with a lot of cribs. It was for the infants. And they had a sign outside that said, we shall not all sleep in here, but we will be changed. Quoted scripture. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. That is, we'll be raised from where we are in heaven, if you're there, or from the earth, if you're alive right now, we'll be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and when the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. And thanks be to God, the text says, who gives us that victory through Jesus Christ, who was raised waiting for you as a believer to show up. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 describes it this way. God will wipe away every tear, not some, not many, but a lot, but every tear. And there be no more crying, no more death, no more diseases. We're talking about life in heaven. No more sorrows, no more pain. These things are gone forever. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, God said, I am making everything, not a few things, not many things, not a lot of things. I am making everything new, brand new. Now, folks, that means no more doctor visits, no more tests, no more organ transplants, no more walkers, no more wheelchairs, leg braces, no more getting too old to enjoy life, no more not being able to get up a hill or sometimes even get out of bed, no more forgetting where your glasses were, and no more dementia, even if you're 110 years old. And gals, no more need for Merle Norman, Revlon, Oil of Olay. Save a lot of money, men. And men, no more Polo or Old Spice to smell better. And no more getting lost without a GPS. Because of the day death died, God manufactured newnesses of everything will come alive in the new earth and the new heavens that God is going to make. He promised that in Isaiah, and he also promised it in the New Testament. I'm going to make new heavens and a new earth. Listen to just a bit of what it's going to be like there. Listen to it. Isaiah. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fatted calf will be together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze together. Their young shall lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play over the hole of a cobra. And a young child will put a hand on an adder's den. And nothing will hurt or destroy anything else. Listen to it from Isaiah chapter 4. The nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To put another spin on that, that means everyone who has accepted me, everyone, no matter who that person is, will come to the Father through me. Everyone, every believer, no matter how smart, no matter how dumb, no matter how old, no matter how young, no matter how mean that person has been. You know why? Because nobody is a nobody with God. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says this, inviting everybody. Behold, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you open the door, I will come into your life. Now, folks, if one of your best friends knocked on the door, wouldn't you open the door and invite him in? And you will never have a better friend than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's knocking. Do not shut him out. Because he took your sins into his body. That's amazing grace for your disgrace. And all of that is because of the precious greatness of our God in heaven. And I want us to sing just verse 3 and verse 4 of number 77. Verse 3 and verse 4. Let's stand and sing it so God can hear. We mean it.